Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is our Gospel reading, Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, but I will focus on verse 8. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? These are the words of Jesus. And so we pray. These are your words, O Lord. Teach us your ways through them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you? Yes, I guess all of us do at times. We do think God is like the crusty old judge, angry old judge in Jesus' story. We don't think that he would ever give us justice speedily. And maybe if he looks down at us, he might not find much faith there. At least not believing that he will answer us. Because he is not crusty or angry. He's not an old judge that doesn't pay attention to us. But because of our sin and the result of us, our great need, yes, it's we who have caused our great need. But we think of him in this way. For this reason, we always think of him last when we are in need. We try to solve it ourselves. Yes, we would rather that. Then you see, we would rather not also be dependent upon him. Even though we are, for everything. Sun, rain, crops, you name it. But the very core of our sinful flesh says that it is better if we could not have to be. That if we can do it all ourselves, we will. We are desperate to. Not that that is possible. Not that that will ever happen. So, do you? Do we, his elect, his chosen people, chosen by his word in water a few days after we were born, for most of us anyways, do we bring everything to God in prayer as that hymn says, as we are told to do? Are you dependent on him? Be so. You see, Jesus is giving us permission. Even if our evil hearts were to be right about God, that his is uncaring. It is not even close to being true, of course, but even if somehow life, the devil, and the world, and our own flesh have convinced us that this is the case, even then, by our constant prayer, he will answer. He says so. Read the gospel text. So do it. Ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Pressed down and overflowing with his goodness to you. Yes, you say. Yes. But we don't see that. Any of that. Even when we have prayed, we have seen the opposite. My mother died of cancer. Actually, my father did, but I'm using that in a general sense. The Twin Towers fell in New York. There's that bridge in Minneapolis, which I used to cross all the time when my third daughter was very young to see a doctor at the University Hospital. So we were over that bridge at least once a month. I don't know if you remember that, but that stuck in my mind because of that, because we would go over that bridge constantly. Yes, but who says, who dares to say that this is not a just and good answer? The towers being taken out, the bridge falling, my dad dying of cancer. Isn't this justice? Isn't this a good answer to us? You can't see it? We don't, but justice says sins get punished. We know that. Good against real evil. Don't we deserve those things? God against sin and sinners? Shouldn't that be the case? Yes, for us. All of that still, for us, all that still does not matter. Because he will answer anyway. He will rescue, save, despite all of the long list that many have against him. Forgetting what he has against us, with even that, with each of those on that list, it will still be fixed and taken care of. Because there are still answers for all of those. Jesus has and will and is, in fact, doing so right now. Jesus is judging sin, paying for sin, dying for sin, and thus procuring our release, healing the very universe itself. That is an answer. That is the answer that answers everything. That he is the best answer to prayer. All things will work for the good of those called by God. This is his purpose. This is justice met. This is all we need. Everything is in that, in Jesus coming to earth, living a perfect life for us and dying for all the sin, then rising again so that we will too. So it doesn't matter if you died when the bridge collapsed. It doesn't matter if you were in the Twin Towers when they were taken out. It doesn't matter if you had cancer or your mother had cancer and died. If you're in him, it doesn't matter. Prayers answered. Prayer answered. Depend on it. We don't grieve like the world. Yeah, sure, it hurts. Yes, our loved ones would grieve. And rightly so. Death is not part of life. It goes against nature. It should not be. Yet, that is not all. Still. He still answers prayers here and now. He still prevents things here and now. He still does things here and now. Even the small stuff. He delivers out of danger. You weren't in the Twin Towers. I worked near the Twin Towers. Not at that time. Everybody says you remember where you were when those towers fell, and I do. I was talking to a customer in the company that I work for, and he says, hold on a minute. And he went up to the windows of his company, and he was working in New Jersey across the river, but he could see the towers. And he said, go turn your TV on. But Jesus is still the answer. He is the best answer for prayer. All things will work for the good of those called by God. That is his purpose. I didn't work in those two buildings. I don't know whatever else we can think of, the close calls, the should have happens but didn't, the healings that God has done maybe we didn't even know about. There are plenty of doctors who are amazed. You shouldn't be walking. You had this, but no longer do. Money coming at the right time when we thought we'd go bankrupt. All of those things. All things work for the good of those called by God. This is his purpose. Even the bad things. And this is justice met. Not that he's punishing us. But this is all we need. Everything is in that. In Jesus coming to earth, living a perfect life for us and dying for all sin, including the sin that caused the two towers to come down. Then rising again so that we will too. Prayer answered. Depend on it. Yet that still is not all. He still answers prayer here and now. I know I'm repeating myself again, but even the small stuff. He delivers out of danger, heals sicknesses, keeps buildings from falling, and even helps you to get a job, a house, a car, a wife and children, cattle, crops, all things. Truly. And you and I don't even know the least of it. We have no idea how many tight spots, like I said, that he and his sent angels have gotten us out of. How many times we have not been punished for our sins. Those many times we have escaped death, missed horrible accidents because he said no. Not this time. And all this even when we had not asked. But someone did. Yes, someone did. Even if it was no one here on earth, Jesus did for us. He is always interceding for us. He says so. Always. Not to mention the prayers of his church. Not to mention the prayers of your grandmother and mother and friends and wife or husband and your little ones. Please, God, make Daddy safe. And then we are ungrateful just because we do not get the color car we wanted or the better job we applied for. But you have a car. You have a job. You eat and live under a roof, right? Yes, but we still whimper. So do you still? Me too. Do you still think of God as a stingy rich old man who has no interest in you and mostly does not want to take the time to bother unless you pester him to death? Ask anyway. Because this is not the only point of Jesus' story. It reaches beyond the practical things that we need. You see, he will still give good things even to ungrateful people. He lets rain fall on the unjust as well as the just. But not always. Not always on the righteous even. He will still discipline us and make us ask him as he puts us into places at times so that he becomes the only one we can run to, turn to. That is what he is after. When Jesus saw the crowds following him after he fed the 5,000 in John 6, he said they were not there for any reason other than a free lunch. Jesus said, big deal. Well, I'm paraphrasing, but how long does a belly full last? 3 or 4 hours? You hungry yet for lunch? Jesus said, rather, he was the bread that came down from heaven. The Jews in the desert ate manna, yet they died. The 5,000 ate bread and fish, but what good is that when they will die in their sins? They needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood if they wanted more than just a free lunch that day. If they wanted food that would last forever, water that would take away thirst forever. Remember the woman at the well? Food that would heal all ills, evil, pain, suffering, and even sin forever. They had to look beyond their bellies. So Jesus asks in our day, in our text today, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will there be anyone asking, getting to the point, asking for more than just bread or a job? Sure, you will ask when you are cornered and have nowhere else to go. But will you turn to him because you finally trust him to take away the cause of your need, your sin? Will you come to his fountain of living water to be really made clean? Will you come to his table for the food that makes you immortal? It takes faith, you say. Sure. So here. Faith is easy to get. He gives it out in buckets all the time. Each time his word and sacraments are given, every time. Yet we disregard it. We ignore the gift. We don't use it. Don't you know that with that, his gift, you can die of hunger, exposure by word, by sword, disease, or old age? You can die, yes, but die content. With that, you can die content. Yes, die with all your prayers answered. Simeon's song, remember? The Nunc Dimittis. We sing it every time we have communion. Departing in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. That is faith. Faith in him. Job ended up saying, though you slay me, I will trust you. What faith? Imagine that you say, I don't have faith like that. Too much has happened to me. I have a hard time trusting. Jesus says, I know. That is why faith is a gift. Here. Jesus says, I know. So ask anyway. I promise I will answer and take care of everything I have, and I will. But how much faith is needed here? Well, the tiniest amount, the size of a mustard seed, moves mulberry trees and even mountains into the sea. So how much faith is needed for God to listen and answer? How much is needed to save you? Any amount. The smallest. You see, that act of praying when we are in need, even with evil hearts and bad feelings toward a God we think is unwilling to help us, that is faith. That is using the gift that he has given us. And he will answer. He promises, he told you to. Hold him to it. He wants you to. His answer may not be what we want or like, but guaranteed that it is good and the very best for us. Absolutely true. All things. He promised, and he does not go back on his promises. Let him worry about our evil hearts. Don't wait to feel all gushy about God. Ask, trust, believe. Now and always. That is an act of faith. Despite the situation, despite the outcome, we go to God. Despite how he will answer or how long it takes, despite what it looks like. That is a change. The change in our beings. A reversal of the fall of humanity. Our sinful flesh says to fix it all ourselves. Save yourself in the world. Work for world peace. Work to remove hunger and suffering in the world. Good goals. But with that, our sinful flesh, it's not going to happen. We cannot do it. The universe was created to be dependent on God, not our own limited resource. God does these things. God fixes all this in his time and by his way. With real justice, with real judgment of evil, with real food, with real peace. Sin says, feed self, save self, protect self, love only self. Faith says, I see I cannot. So even if I am angry about it, wish it were different, I will ask God to do it all. So God does, God did, with Jesus. Even before we asked. That is how good God is. He does not wait for us, even though he sets us up so we have to ask, depend and trust and go to him. So do so. Trust Jesus. He went through all the things that we would have had to so that we can know he really understands. So that we know that he really knew what to fix, what to answer with, how to give to us what we really need. That is dealing with the real problem, sin. Jesus did. And so all is answered in Jesus. He is the only way, and it will all be done. All be answered, all be worked out for us, for our good, the very best, gooder, and bestest. besterer than we can add ers and est to words. He will still top it. Remember that game as kids? Well, I'm better than you. No, I'm 100 times better. Well, I'm infinity times better than you. Jesus tops all that. He has infinity in an infinity of directions for all time plus eternity better. What he has in store for us as answers to our very most and bestest desires is the same superlatives heaped on superlatives better than we even thought to ask for. It has not even entered our minds how good. We could never even imagine how good it will be on that day when all will be answered completely. That is his answer. It starts with his gift of faith to you that you have been given, even if just now. So ask. That is walking by faith. Even if you don't want to, do it. It is the beginning of the greatest life you are guaranteed to have. That promise is sealed in blood and cost God his life to make it happen for you. Talk about collateral. So use it. He has given you permission. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says in his word. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen. Amen is just let it be so. Utter our let it be so to God for his glory. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, come, Lord Jesus, as you are the very answer to all our prayers. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.